This past Thursday was Groundhog's Day, and Punxsutawney Phil saw his shadow, meaning 6 more weeks of all your friends absolutely losing their shit about Trump on Facebook. The Trump Report starts now!
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Oh, that's right, school's out! We have a new education secretary, so clearly school is out. Welcome to the Trump Report. I'm Christian Blatt on Twitter at @ChristianDMZ. Don't forget the show's Twitter at TrumpReportABTV, like AfterBuzz TV. Follow us there. Like us on YouTube. Comment. Rate us on iTunes. To my left, camera right, the one, the only, Chelsea Galicia at Chelsea Galicia. Say hello to the people.
Hello, people.
And next to her, Scott Moore at S-Man80, or as I've decided to start pronouncing it, S-Man80.
Yes.
S-Man80.
Hello.
And we're
but your Groundhog Day joke.
Oh, yes.
What was that one?
Was it better than mine? Because please.
What was it?
I said that Trump saw a shadow and there's going to be 3 more years, 11 months, and 18 days left of winter in America.
Yeah.
Oh, see, there you go. See, mine was trying to be a little bit more inclusive, but that's not your job. We're very excited to have special guests here in the studio on the couch. From Based in L.A., at Based in L.A., Tim Stabers, not Stabbers, as we did, we established before the show.
That's right.
And Jeffrey Mark Klein, who is at Jeffrey, am I right?
Yep.
Are you right?
Am I? We'll find out.
We'll find out during the course of the conversation. So, welcome. There you go.
Oh, thank you.
That proves it. You're definitely
right.
Thanks
very much.
So, welcome to the show, gentlemen. We really appreciate it. It sort of came together very quickly. Why don't you start off telling us a little bit about yourselves, about Based in LA, which again is at Based in LA, and we'll sort of dive into the video that you guys have gotten a lot of attention for after you tell us about that.
Sure. Well, my name is Jeffrey Mark Klein. I am from, thank you, Tim. Always
so
got my
sure
back.
Everybody
that
hears
is a lot
you
better.
Always
clear,
got my back.
Right?
I'm originally from Michigan, lived in New York City, lived in LA for the last couple years, and yeah, I don't know what else you want to know about me, but
no,
that's my brief background.
And you and Tim met each other through mutual friends in
we
the
did.
Comedy world.
Yeah, yeah, we met through comedy people.
And
yeah,
you tricked him into moving to Los Angeles only a few months ago.
That's right.
Yeah, sort
is that
of.
The right, is that the way the story goes? Or
I guess, yeah. I guess you tricked me into it. Because most people on the East Coast are like, oh, I'm planning on it. And then they plan on it, and they plan on it, and they never actually make the
true
leap. So
yeah, I'm from New York originally, and it took until I was about 28 to finally actually do it, where I'd been thinking about it since college. So talk about what Based in L.A. is.
Based in L.A. is a media company that's focusing on anti-PC, essentially anti-PC, limited government, and equal opportunity offensive content. We have just started. We got lucky, I guess you could say, by going to the L.A. Women's March and getting a video that will, I assume, will...
Yeah, we're going to take a little look at
it. That.
And so set up the video exactly what we're about to see. So this was the LA Women's March, which was the day after the inauguration, so January 21st.
Jeffrey?
Yeah, we went down there just to get some man-on-the-street interviews with people. Also to find out specifically what the march was for, because we didn't fully know. I had a lot of friends who were marching, and they were all marching for different reasons, so I was curious. We started getting some interviews with people, and then... Tim saw Big Joe, as you'll see in the video.
Yes.
And
he's hard to miss. Mm-hmm.
Yes, saw Big Joe and immediately was like, Jeffrey, get over here, talk to this guy. And I ran over, and all I did was ask him what he was doing here, and
we got that answer. So let's take a look at a minute or so of Big Joe, if you don't mind rolling that in for us, Stephen.
All right, sir, my name is Jeffrey. What is your name?
They call me Big Joe.
Big Joe,
yeah.
I can see why. Big Joe, what are you doing here today?
I'm just passing through. I have nothing to do with this whatever you want to call this. I don't even understand why they're having this. They had an inauguration yesterday, and now we have all this. What did Trump do for all of this to happen? He just got came into office. What is this? I see signs of unity and love and peace, and yet at his inauguration, they were burning a McDonald's, a Starbucks, limousines, and anarchy in the streets. This is what is this? When he was elected rightfully, I mean, by the majority of the country, that, you know, so even though there are half the country like this that disapprove, what about the other half that do like him? What about them? What about their feelings? When Obama was president and he pushed his political agenda, political correctness, and he pushed all his agendas, did you see people doing all this? No, because we united behind our American president and we stuck it out and everything. So.
All right, well, I think we have a good sense of Big Joe, but that video can be found at Based in L.A., and I was asking you guys before we got started, talk a little bit about just how much attention the Big Joe video has gotten as of right now, and including on your site, but also some of the retweets and shares. And
sure. There was two main reposts, one from Milo Yiannopoulos and one from the Millennial Post on Facebook, and between the two of those and ours, we're approaching, I think, about 51 million views on all of those totaled together. So,
yeah, so that's a few views, which is great, and obviously, it seems to me that and that's how I found you guys, is because I was seeing the Big Joe video posted so much, and it clearly speaks to a very specific segment that was wondering, why is all this going on? And this was on the first full day of the Trump administration, so that would be why people were so upset about it. And we can talk a little bit more about that, but I understand that, Chelsea, you saw the Big Joe video. I saw you taking some notes.
Yeah.
So you had a few thoughts you'd like to share about
Big Joe? Yeah, because the video is mostly questions, and so what comes to my mind are answers.
Well,
so I thought,
thank God you're here with us, Chelsea, to provide answers to Big Joe and everyone, you say, across the country, but around the world.
Okay, so for people that are wondering, the first question he asks is, why are they having this? If Trump was just inaugurated yesterday, what did he do already in these few hours that is worthy of a march? Well, apparently Big Joe forgets about what Trump said on the campaign trail. So people were there to stand up for rights that they feared would be trampled on by a Trump administration. Is that fair?
I mean, I think that that would be fair. I don't know that
people
everyone's
were there for different,
that, but, yeah,
different
people
reasons.
Were definitely there for
some people were there for reproductive rights. Others were, protesting what they saw as an inevitable ban on Muslims, racism against Mexicans and people coming from Central America. The things that he said over and over on the campaign that people found offensive or that they disagreed with. So that's what they were protesting. And he points to, a burning of Starbucks and McDonald's and limos. That wasn't done by the entire group. And in every march protest, there are bad actors. And so to label an entire movement or march based on those bad actors isn't fair. Equally unfair is when some people say, all Trump supporters are racist. Sure, there are plenty, but you cannot
based
define,
on what numbers?
In general terms, you feel like that's the case. Yeah, I would say that there are racists who voted for Hillary as well.
Yeah, but there's more that voted for Trump.
I mean, there's a picture of her kissing a Klansman. Like that's David all over the internet.
You mean her husband, or is that
no? That's the rapist. That's the rapist she's married to.
Thank you, Stephen. We'll pause on that point because we obviously don't want to talk about Big Joe for the.
Yeah, I speak for myself, not Big Joe. He's not here.
Joe is not here. That's true.
He's one of the racists. I don't know.
He's not on social media, right? We can't give a shout out for him.
No, he's requested that.
That's very private.
That's good though. But that's good that he has you guys in his corner looking out for him. So if you want more Big Joe, go to Based in LA. And before I forget, because I did already forget, I did want to give you guys a chance to talk about your GoFundMe page and what you're trying to do. We're gonna get back to that.
Yeah.
It's okay. I just forgot to talk about it before, and I know I'll forget if I don't do it now.
Thanks.
But we'll certainly. We have time. We're not even 20 minutes in.
We have this thing on this show where we constantly run out of time.
Yes, so I'm and I don't want to run out of time for the thing I promised I would let you do, which is plug your GoFundMe. So just to take a minute and talk a little bit about what you're looking for, and we will tweet out the link after the show from @TrumpReportABTV.
You want to go ahead?
Okay. So our GoFundMe essentially is because we started this media company at the beginning of January, and we started making comedy sketches. That's really what we wanted to do. It became a lot more political after that. And so what we really
is it mostly because of Big Joe that it became more political than you were planning? I mean, from that day, the video.
We went down there with the explicit intention of doing Man on the Street stuff that was aimed at a right of center view.
Right, because we gravitated towards one another also because our political sensibilities are a lot more right than most people we meet in Los Angeles. So we definitely wanted it to.
Well, we
be
haven't
focused.
Met everyone yet.
That is true. That's very.
We're working
true.
On it.
But we wanted to definitely do non-PC comedy, making fun of everybody for everybody. But we are right-leaning gentlemen, and so we started the media company. We needed capital to start the media company. Talked to some investors. Investors want bigger pieces of us than we were willing to necessarily give up. So we started the GoFundMe.
And what I noticed on the GoFundMe page is that the investors wanted to get more involved in content, which is sort of not what you wanted to do. So in this day and age, we're very lucky in this great capitalist society that we can ask people to donate money. And, you know, I mean, you glance at the page, it's a lot of like $50 here, $20, but it all adds up, which is great. You know, people are just like, oh, I like that video. I like these guys. I want to see them do more. So you're very close to your goal. Your goal is very modest. It's $6,000.
That's our bottom line for 3 months because we're like, if that's
we also aim to prove with our videos that you can exist on less than minimum wage in Los Angeles, which is something
that'll be
that we
impressive.
Were doing.
Yeah.
It's not really, but
I mean, let me put it this way. I would be impressed.
Okay.
I did a short film a lifetime ago called How to Make It in New York on $15 a Day. And, you know, you can sort of fake it, but it's not that easy.
Oh,
now,
wow,
Chelsea,
cool.
We'll get back to you in a second, but I did want to let Scott weigh in.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Because I've been very rude and not let Scott talk hardly at all.
Well, the issue that I had with it in general was that it became such a shouting match that it was even really hard for me to listen to both sides, because like you were saying, Chelsea, it was a bunch of questions. But the thing that, you know, I was going to add to yours is that, you know, in every protest we do see these people that come out of the woodwork to cause problems that have no vested interest in the actual
but
protest.
You're not saying that Big Joe was there to cause problems?
No, I'm talking about when they're saying about, like, he
what
was mentioned about the protest on
inauguration
day. I just wanted to
clarify
there were no arrests. This was a very peaceful protest on Saturday. I was down there. I was very excited to be a part of this protest. Like you said, there were people there for many different reasons. He also mentioned at the top that the majority of people voted for Trump. That did not happen. The majority of Electoral College voted for him. But, you know, so you could see a lot of people, especially out here in Los Angeles, huge landslide loss for him in California by over 4.5 million votes. So there are not going to be a lot of people out here that are supporting his plans.
At least not in this
part of the state.
No.
Yeah. Not openly.
Well, no, not when you... Yeah, exactly, because you lost... he lost by 4.5 million votes, so it was the biggest landslide loss.
But not Kelsey Grammer.
A Republican since 1928 out here, so he does not have a lot of fans out here.
Now,
so I did want to include
most of those people have moved to Texas because housing prices are too high out here.
Well,
I have a house
here. I do have a house here, but I do know that Texas has no state income tax, so it makes it very appealing.
Yes,
as your state of Florida also does it. Now, Chelsea, I don't want to spend too much time in the video, but I would like to let you make another point from your notes.
I get one? Let me look.
I think one is good.
Well, I mean, I also didn't understand how they said when Obama was president, there was no protest. Everyone united behind him.
I
was living in a different reality than that.
I'm inclined to agree. I think that...
Agree
with you.
Okay.
That it what everybody did not join in lockstep behind Obama, but I do think that the reaction has been very different.
And
this is much more vocal.
Him declaring that it's factual history that Margaret Sanger, whose organization was sort of the impetus for Planned Parenthood, her goal was to sterilize black people, is inaccurate. It's not true. She believed in birth control. She wasn't trying to sterilize anybody by race. She wanted to make birth control available for people who didn't have options. And he's like, if you don't like the president, leave, as though that it's un-American to protest. It's the very thing about America is to protest, to be vocal, and to complain, or to just speak your mind when you're unhappy with the state of affairs. So I thought that that was kind of un-American for him to say. And it was interesting. He kept coming back to this theme that what was going on here is that we have people who are trying to bring anarchy, and which would cause martial law, and therefore we're going to lose all the rights that we're all interested in having, the people that attended the march and who didn't. That's a very interesting way to see things.
Well,
going down.
I think that the anarchist contingent is a very different contingent, as we saw on Inauguration Day, as we just saw up in Berkeley last week. These were not Berkeley students. They had masks on. These are people that, you know, I don't know if they get bussed in or if that's too organized for anarchists.
Are we sure they're not Berkeley students?
We're not sure.
George Soros' son is a Berkeley student.
That's true. George Soros' son is a Berkeley student.
Then they're probably definitely not, because what has George Soros ever done that you could point a finger at? Nothing. No. It's jokes for people.
I was like, is that a different George Soros? Are we talking about someone else?
Yeah, we're talking. But no, I'm sorry. I was thinking of George Jefferson from my George is confused. I do want to move on from Big Joe, but I do want to give the video makers a moment to respond. There have been a lot of things said in the last couple of minutes. So, Tim Not Stabber. Tim Staber, if you wanted to take, you know, a minute, because we have Betsy DeVos, we have Super Bowl commercials, and there's so much more to talk about. So
I think one of the things that most people seem to forget is that when there's a camera in your face, you immediately change the nature of the conversation and that person to whatever standards you might be holding them to, whether that be the FCC or the MPAA or some sort of star chamber, research it like that. In Big Joe's case, I mean, the man stood there surrounded by people that he knew disagreed with him. He didn't curse. He didn't swear.
And there is a point in the video where someone gets, you know, I don't even want to say combative, but very vehemently disagreed with him. Yeah. I think they had a good back and forth. Mm-hmm. So, yes.
It's easy also to remain calm when you're 6'6",
345. If I were Big Joe, I would be very calm and happy to state my opinions anytime.
There's a reason giants are gentle, you know, until they're not. But, I don't think – I think it was a great moment in the sense that there's a complete lack of honest discourse going on in the media. Now we have outlets that are either like left or they're right, and I think that's a good thing. I want as many voices out there speaking whatever they want to say as possible, which is why we're helping Big Joe build his own platform.
That'd be great.
He's not exactly right for our brand. We're trying to go for a little bit of a different demographic.
But besides, Big Joe should have the Big Joe brand. You know,
is a brand.
And and I would say it's absolutely right. It's good that there is a Huffington Post and there is a Breitbart to, you know, put those...
Which were both started by Andrew Breitbart.
Yes, they were. Andrew Breitbart was actually a very good friend of mine. He was at my wedding. His company is a lot different than when he was there. Mm-hmm. I'm not one to say what it would be like if he was still around, but it's a constant reminder every day when I hear his name that he was probably one of my favorite people on the planet.
That's great.
And all anyone needs to do is take a look at the video when there was an Anthony Weiner press conference and Weiner wasn't there yet. Andrew took the podium and started answering questions.
Right.
It was one of my favorite things that I've ever seen on television.
So brilliant.
But in any case, the point I was going to make about those two websites is that the problem becomes when people start posting articles from it like they're news. I mean, they're both opinion sites.
Right.
I know Breitbart says Breitbart News, but it is an opinion site. And on the other side, I mean, I'm just saying Huffington Post because it's the easy one, but, you know, Salon isn't really news, you know, and The Blaze isn't really news on the other side. You know, I mean, we could go back and forth.
Right.
And I think it's great that there's so much content, there's so many places for you to get those opinions out there. You just run into the problem that people just sort of reporting it like facts, and we're not even getting into the hashtag fake news. We're just talking about, you know, putting opinions like, can you believe this? And I mean, that's less dangerous than the actual fake news clickbait sites, but the point being, I think it's great that we have all of that. Chelsea, you're staring at me like you don't think people should be allowed to express themselves.
Oh, that's an interesting read into the look.
I know, that's not what I actually thought it was.
No, but I do actually, I have a question.
Yes.
So the only other point that I didn't talk about, because I was hoping that we would talk about it more generally, is this whole anti-PC thing.
Their brand.
Their brand, okay. And also Big Joe mentioned it. He says he's against political correctness. It's un-American, and he called it a disease. So I think that I kind of want to understand how you see political correctness, because I think it's been turned into something that was intended to be just a request to be thoughtful about who you're speaking about or who you might impact, to just think twice about what you say, to be mindful, to be conscious of what you say.
I will certainly let our guests respond to that.
I think that
political correctness starts from a good point. Where it is.
Now, so then where before, has it become before this we demonized?
Started, before we started, we were sort of joking about something off the air. There was a not particularly offensive term, but one a word you can't say anymore. And no one meant anything bad by it. But it is looked at as like, oh, you can't say that anymore. And honestly, I think that as someone who, you know, I'm not a performer, but I do write a fair amount in terms of, so I don't know if comedian's the word, but I try to be funny when I can. And it's very difficult to figure out what that line is. And you know, we talked about it a couple weeks ago when you weren't here. There was the tweet about Barron Trump from the SNL writer that was definitely a terrible thing to say and shouldn't have been said. But sometimes it's hard to figure out where the line is. And you might have to step across it until you figure out where it is. Now, that's my own personal answer. I want to give you guys plenty of time, though, to respond to what Chelsea asked. I just wanted to go on record as to where I weigh in on political correctness.
Well, I've been doing stand-up comedy since 2007. This doesn't, but... It's my head shape.
I just want to make sure everybody hears you.
So I've been doing stand-up comedy since 2007. And I noticed over the course of the last 10 years that comedy clubs started telling us as comics things we can and cannot say. Like, I was at a comedy club here in L.A., and there's a paper posted in the green room that says, you can't tell jokes that involve these words or phrases or ideas. And then there was, like, white comics also can't say these words. Like, I saw that. And
okay.
I was like, this is garbage. Like, it's pointless censorship. I understand that you, like, have an establishment that's your own, and if you have people on it, you should be allowed to tell them things. But at the same time, it's just censorship. It's against this idea of free speech. And I know that free speech is, like, the government's not going to arrest me for, like, calling Tim a fag in the morning, but, like...
Only in the afternoon?
You wouldn't believe how many times we throw around the word fag in the apartment.
That's a true statement. but it's, like, it's schoolyard fun. Like, I don't see it as a bad thing. And I'm the gay one, so if anybody should be upset about it, it's me.
Although he reminds me of every time I do something that's super gay.
You act gayer than I do a lot. But yeah, so I've noticed that, like, when we're, like, out, if he calls me a fag, there's this, like, fear in me that someone's going to get mad about it. And I don't understand why, because I'm not upset. He's not
saying
it
to me. Right, but someone who hears it might actually be upset.
He's not saying it to hurt me. And if I don't understand why someone else would get upset by that, because if you think about the intention of how someone's doing something, you can't get offended by, like, a friend joking with a friend. I just don't understand it.
Well, not to put you on the spot, Scott, but I'd like you to...
Yeah, I would say, but I get that the PC... I do understand, you know, that the PC culture has gotten a little too extreme, and I've also done stand-up, and I feel that, you know, you should be able to have that line be able to be crossed, but it is very difficult. I would say the thing that would be tough is if I was walking down the sidewalk and I overheard someone calling someone else a fag, it would make me feel uncomfortable, because all of a sudden I wouldn't know if you guys were friends or not, and all of a sudden I'm feeling uncomfortable by the fact that this word is being thrown around, and I'm now feeling maybe less safe because I don't know him and I don't know if you know him. And I think it just comes to what Chelsea was saying. When you're around a group of people, you don't necessarily know where people are coming from, or, you know, I'd say, like, you don't know if someone's transgender and you're saying something horrible in front of a group of people that might be like, oh, you know, tranny, or, you know, this guy's wearing a dress. You just don't know sometimes where people are coming from or where their place is and where they're going through the process. And so, as Chelsea was saying, it's a way of being able to read the room as being like a stand-up, knowing, like, what things you might be able to get away with, like what line you could cross, but also being aware that you don't necessarily know where all these people are coming from, and that some people might have things that you don't realize.
I mean, to some extent,
that would affect them. But I do understand the other side of where it gets too extreme, and to where, you know, we're apologizing for things, and like you're saying, feeling offended because he's saying something, but it's not to me, and now I'm demanding an apology. Like, so there is certainly a line, but it's like where exactly is that line to where it's not?
And here's the most important thing is that we're actually having a conversation about it, which is very difficult to do.
Oh, yeah. And it's rare. It's so rare. Right. Because, well, the first thing is getting offended is a choice, we all know that we as humans with our brains have control over our emotions. So feeling scared because two people are having a conversation is something that, like, maybe you should strengthen yourself before even going in public if that's going
to
happen.
No, but I'm or you could move to Japan where nobody's allowed to talk.
Yeah,
public.
You could do that, of course. I mean, there's so many options for you.
Yeah.
I think, like, but like I think if you're saying that you're, you know, offended is a choice, certain things I could say yes if I was going to be offended because, you know, somebody wrote something and I, you know, was like, oh, I don't believe in that. But I think if someone is legitimately feels uncomfortable because they're, whatever, wherever they are in their life, and they, and I think it's deeper than just making the choice and being like, well, I'm uncomfortable because somebody's, you know, calling me a fag, and oh, well, I can just, you know, ignore that and it's okay.
But feeling uncomfortable is one thing, but then telling someone that they shouldn't be using a word isn't, like, vocalizing it is kind of a waste of time.
That's free speech, and I can request that you not say something. Yeah. If you do anyway, I have a choice to stay or leave, I've made a request.
Leaving
but I just
great.
Don't understand.
Yeah.
Okay, so I can see in comic clubs, that should be like the anti-safe space, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, 100%.
You know, by the way, Chelsea, there are plenty of people who do not agree with that. You
there
know,
are
and
too
that's
many
the problem
that
is running into.
I mean,
I think some of it should be common sense.
Maybe
you're
it should
talking
be on the
about,
website. This is an anti-safe space.
You're talking about a list.
That's how we're marketing ourselves.
That's how we're marketing ourselves.
And it's working out wonderfully.
What I don't understand is how this issue has taken over. Like, PC versus not PC, and demonizing people who consider themselves thoughtful of what they say, factually accurate as best as possible, God forbid, sensitive, just conscious of what other people are feeling in my presence. That's not a terrible thing to be. And this fact that let's just say whatever we want and be ultra offensive and not correct and say, well, I'm not PC. I'm just saying what's on my mind. And covering up the fact that you're spewing lies, but calling it, it's just because I'm not PC.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. Where do you find that line and feel that that's what's okay
and what's
not? How
did this issue of all of them become so
central? Because people are being censored, and the very, very First Amendment is free speech. I think that's part of it.
The issue also evolved because over the last 8 years, people who are offended by the words used by other people got, like, stronger and more comfortable in telling people they're not supposed to say certain words. And so it just became this idea.
What are the words? I mean,
well,
words,
let's
I mean,
please
here's
not
the thing.
Say them. I mean,
well, oh, should I have not said fag a bunch of times?
No, see, and it's sort of a
I was
weird,
like, I'm allowed to say that word in terms of the PC.
I'm going out of my way to not say it because I don't
well,
think
maybe
I'm
after.
Allowed to say it.
Say it.
It. Like,
it's freeing.
Say it. Everybody say it together.
I have said it. Look, when we were kids, we used to use it as an insult all the time. Which I think that, to me, that's progress, that kids don't call each other that all the time is automatically you're a terrible person is what I mean by that. Some of it's common sense. You know, you're talking about the separate list for white comedians. You should know that if you go on the stage as a white comedian and you use the N-word, you're going to pay the consequences for it. So, you know, you can still have the choice to do it, but it's probably not smart.
Well, my thing is I personally don't say the N-word. I don't say it. That's a word I just don't use. You do. I don't.
I do it. I have a great joke about it. I have a great joke about it when I say it.
You do.
It's usually only the black people that are laughing too, because all the white people are so terrified of black people because they are racist that they sit there quietly and like, oh my gosh, they have justification on murdering him. Like, that's the way they sit there.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
I don't know if I entirely agree with that statement,
I don't care.
I'll be comfortable.
No.
That's fine. But let me just say, for me, I feel like I would be much more comfortable sitting in a room and, you know, there's a film on and it's Richard Pryor saying it. I'll feel like I can laugh at it.
Right.
But then if you're on stage and you do it, then I'm like, even if I think it's funny, I might just...
Right.
I'll tell him after the show that was funny. You know, because... and look, it's hard. And look, we could do a whole show on this.
Yeah,
and I kind of want to. But we do need to move on.
That's okay.
Because this is fact. But like I said before, it's very hard to have conversations about any of these issues.
Right,
because
there's no real clear line.
But I appreciate at least this conversation.
Yeah, of course.
No,
I do. I appreciate it so much.
And this is what I want this show to be. Unfortunately, we usually find ourselves like, well, I kind of agree on that. Don't you agree with that? Yes, and what do we disagree on?
We watched some backlog episodes and we were like, oh, three people agree with each other a bunch. This will be fun.
Well, the guy who disagrees with us doesn't like to come on the show anymore.
He gets scared.
He doesn't come on anymore.
The election was a good day for him and he still doesn't like to come on. So that's his choice. But
too bad.
Anyway, we're going to move on to news because believe it or not, there's big news. Betsy DeVos. A huge moment because it was historic, tie-breaking vote by Vice President Mike Pence.
Silver Fox Mike Pence, bringing it home.
Yeah.
Cartoon supervillain. He does looks like a cartoon supervillain.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's either a cartoon supervillain. I think he should play Perry White, the guy who runs the Daily Planet in Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Mostly because he's one of the whitest people on the planet. And I can say that because I'm also one of the whitest people on the planet.
Well, so I identify as black, and I find that offensive.
I apologize. We will tweet all of the apologies after the show.
Regardless of how people feel about Mike Pence, he wears the best ties. I've been talking about it.
Steven, could you bring up a couple of Mike Pence
he's got
ties?
Got a great stylist.
I just want to see one tie.
Mother picked him out for him.
Whichever it is, they look good. Yeah.
Are we talking about like wearable ties or ties to the Russians? I'm kind of confused.
Could people hear that?
I should have taken that bet. Steven wouldn't be able to help himself.
We knew you couldn't. But anyway, so the vote to confirm Betsy DeVos' education ceremony. I was having a conversation with someone earlier today, not in this building, in a completely different building, but I will not identify the person.
Or the building.
The generic building.
The generic building where I may or may not work. And this mystery person was just saying like, oh yeah, she was terrible, the confirmation hearings, just she wasn't well spoken. And then he started to look at it and he's like, oh, school choice. Oh, I'm actually in favor of that. I don't like teachers' unions. He had all this stuff, and he talked himself into, oh, I guess this is probably a good thing.
Nice.
Now, I think that, you know, there are probably a lot of issues with teachers' unions, and there are, of course, problems with the education system, and the whole Trump administration is sort of based on the idea of let's get people who, you know, let's get these square pegs and round holes that don't fit and see what they can do. But I feel like this was the one that people are the most upset about. And Scott, because I made you go last before, I'm going to let you weigh in first.
I would say this will not be the one I'm most upset about because there's a few on the list there.
Agreed.
But I would say that it's basically like saying let's have someone that's not a pilot run the airline pilots.
Like the FAA?
Yeah, FAA, yes, with no experience at all. With someone who's a billionaire who wants to do school choice, which, as we know, you know, again, that doesn't work. Because here's the problem. Let's say, because they had mentioned about South Central, let's say they're saying, well, the local public school isn't up to par, and I want to send my child to a private school. The problem is you're going to get a voucher, but it's not going to necessarily cover the full amount for that private school, and how are you going to be doing that for every student that now wants to go? What happens to those public schools? What about the kids that are in rural areas? Where do those kids go? I think having someone that has no background at all in education except, you know, being a billionaire and supporting a lot of these senators that said yes today, that has no idea on how to fix this system. So how is this person supposed to be able to do that? I would be a lot more open to someone that may have been, you know, school choice and all about vouchers and everything else if she or he had been in the education system for years, knew the ins and outs. But when you're bringing someone that doesn't have any of that background, and you're now working on the national level on trying to help with the future of kids and their education, why would this person be the right choice for that?
Oh, I can tell you.
Well, I mean, well, I know why.
Chelsea has
thoughts.
But I'm saying,
why would this person, would they say that this person is best suited out of all the people out there that could have come in? Because, of course, Trump says he hires the best people. How is this person the best?
Chelsea, is your answer going to be because Putin said she should be education
Christian,
secretary?
By now I thought you'd know exactly what was going to come out of my mouth, and that was not
It's going to have the word Bernie in it somewhere.
No? Want to try again?
No, because we only have so much time. So
okay,
go ahead.
Fine. So I think even Republicans agree that she is not qualified.
Well, there were some, but not all Republicans agreed on that. But there were definitely some who said that. Absolutely.
Yes. And I think many more who would have agreed had they not received so much money from her and her family.
I,
and I think
you can probably break down all sorts of votes, you know, based on, you know, most votes. Probably there are plenty of people who vote.
I would love to know what the vote would have been like had the DeVos family not given so much money to individual members of the Senate that voted and the Republican Party in general.
Isn't that why you give so much money? So that you can get favors down the road.
You can basically buy yourself a position. Isn't that what your position?
Isn't that what your friend Bernie wants to try and fix? And what President Trump says that he wants to do in terms of draining the swamp.
He said he wanted to do, and he did the complete opposite.
I obviously want to give our guests a chance to weigh in on Betsy DeVos, what you think about the fact that she's our education secretary. Is it something to be upset about, or are people just going to react badly to every choice that President Trump makes?
P.S. You have awesome pizza socks.
Oh, thank you. Yes, pizza socks.
I did not even notice those. Yeah. Good.
And P.S. I like Mattis as choice for defense secretary. I'm not saying I don't like everyone just because it's Trump. I just think you could have picked a better person to lead that particular job.
Scott, it's refreshing to hear you say that you're not going to just hate everything he does, because as I've seen, it feels like everyone's just going to hate everything President Trump does, which you kind of briefly touched on at the beginning, that this is the thing people are the most upset about. And I'm like, give it a week. They'll be more upset about something else. It's fine.
Yeah. He's going to tweet something.
I think Sessions is definitely worse.
No, I was going to say Sessions is worse.
Yes, we can't wait for that. We're psyched for Sessions.
I'm excited for much worse. So I will say I'm very excited about Betsy DeVos. I've been saying DeVos for a while, so that's
it. Actually sounds better, though, don't you think? DeVos? It sounds like fancier.
I was saying DeVos, and I was listening to DeVos.
Yes, we were listening to Whippet this morning. what I'm excited about with Betsy DeVos the most is charter schools and school of choice, as well as getting the federal government out of local schools. Those three things are her three pillars of what she's trying to do, and I respect it so much, because school of choice gives kids opportunities to go to schools that they might not be able to. I grew up very poor in Michigan, where Betsy DeVos has done so much. And we had to go to the school that my mom could afford to live in the district to go to. And if school of choice was a thing, I might have had a greater educational opportunity. I feel like I went to an okay school. I liked it, but I could have gotten a better thing if school of choice had been a thing. So I'm excited to see what comes out of that. Charter schools, I have a lot of friends who work at charter schools. I only hear good things about charter schools from people inside. I only hear bad things about charter schools from angry liberals who don't work in education.
Union people.
Yeah, union people for sure. Oh, I'm thrilled that Betsy DeVos is not tied to teachers' unions at all, because they've always been...
talk about people that do things for money.
Yeah, they've always been
It's an interesting thing, because if you look at the education system, again, it's another whole show we could do.
Of course.
But there are... this was a conversation I was having with a mystery person earlier. There are so many school districts in a state when you don't need that many. But why are there so many? Because there's also a superintendent and all the way down there's a whole office staff. So there's all this money has to go to you have to have all these people. You could easily consolidate some. I don't even have to pick a number or percentage. It would be interesting if, whether it would be Betsy DeVos or someone else in the future, could take a look at some of these things and try and just take a different approach, because what's happening isn't working. And the idea that, this kid is going to have the voucher to go to this other school, now the school that he's supposed to go to, he or she is supposed to go to, is going to suffer. That other school, I don't know how much worse it's going to get,
Valid.
What was that?
I hit a soundboard button, my bad.
Oh, okay. No,
he just can't help it. He really wants to be part of the conversation.
I was like, is this a thing? Are we entering into a bonus round?
Yeah, this
he
is.
He said the secret word, I think.
Yeah, exactly. And the duck will fall down from the sky. So anyway, the point being, it was a very weird moment there, but the point being that I think that anyone who looks at things differently, there'll probably be reasons that we can be on this show in a few months and say we don't like this decision or that. But right now, I'm just like, okay, everybody hates her. There's probably a reason. Let me see what she does.
She was not liked, because this is the first time a tiebreaker had to go to fancy tie cabinet vice president. You've had cabinet picks that have fallen through, in the past because of issues and everything else. But this is the first time the tiebreakers had to be used. And there are two Republican senators, Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins, who did not vote for her either. So clearly she was not popular, and there are reasons behind that. And yes, let's hope that, someone with fresh eyes can see something different. I don't think it's the right choice, like you're saying, when a student is going to move away from their district, and how is that going to work for everybody? Are they moving around? And I get the school choice thing. I think there is something to that with charter school and school choice. However, I don't think that system of how they want to do it is going to work with the vouchers. It's going to be very difficult. And how are all these kids going to be able to get that?
Right.
And who's going to be left out? It's mostly going to be the wealthy people. I would like to have people. Answers. It's going to be the wealthy people.
At every
mainly
point
they're
you're
going to
making,
be able to
I would love to know the answer. And hopefully we find the
that's
answer
all
sooner than later.
All the wealthy people live in Connecticut in this state, and they already go to whatever school.
Oh, yeah, all the wealthy people have already had school choice.
They have school choice
because
they can move wherever they want to go.
This is more of a rhetorical question, because you feel like most people, to keep it local, who live in Beverly Hills send their kids to private school. But I'm just going to guess that Beverly Hills Public High School, wherever that is, it's probably a great school. It might even be better than any school that any of us went to. So
it also might directly feed a rehab.
It's hard
clinic,
to get there,
guess,
though, because they won't build the subway into
that
Beverly
high school
Hills.
That's true.
So right. It's very
so
hard to get there.
They can't get bussed into right. it, which exactly. is probably exactly why they won't do it.
But the other thing, yes, so the third thing that I'm very excited for about Betsy DeVos is that she doesn't want the federal government to make a lot of decisions for local schools. Because when the federal government makes a decision for schools, they might make a decision that's best for, like, LA, for example. That might not be what's best for the small town in Michigan where I grew up in, and vice versa. The best decision for them might not be the best decision for LA. And so giving that power back to state and local governments, I think, is going to benefit education in the long
run. Are you talking about decisions on curriculum?
Yes, curriculum, standards, all
that
stuff.
So what about my concern with that is states that have been on the wrong side of history wanting to gloss over that in history class.
What do you mean?
Like the textbooks when they were teaching things, for instance, in Tennessee
about
creationism
or,
certain things like that. I think that there should be some kind of standards. I agree with you that
is
local
creationism
choice...
on the wrong side of history. Is that what you were talking about?
No,
Chelsea?
I was talking
no,
more
that's what
about,
I'm talking about.
what
slavery.
Are you talking? Slavery
and slavery.
Oh,
other, but I'm talking about creationism, right. Things like that that can easily be dictated by. And I think a lot of schools now, a lot of states have a lot of choice.
Do you think that those people in those areas are not also teaching their children at home whatever they want to teach them? That might be in total
so,
contradiction
no,
to what
saying, I don't
think
actually, a lot of parents take a back seat from teaching their students and their kids
the
and their kids
do
are
it.
Doing that. And
that's part of the problem
that.
With the nation then because
that we expect
schools to do
okay.
all the teaching.
No, but that's what they go to school for. So you're saying that's okay for Tennessee to teach about creationism?
Yes.
They can teach
absolutely.
Well.
They should. There
Wait,
should
school,
be. There should be private schools that teach
but,
kids communism because
no, that,
none of those policies work in the real world. So they can go ahead and learn
them. Public school, though, is what I'm saying. They should be teaching about things that are vowed factual science back.
Well, all I
why
can
should
vouch
they be teaching
why shouldn't
public
they
school?
Just teach them everything and let
well,
them make up their own
say.
Minds?
All I can vouch for is
no,
when
they're teaching creationism as an actual.
I learned. I went to a private school that was a born again Christian school from kindergarten to eighth grade.
That's private.
That, yes, exactly. But my point is, let me finish. My point is that they taught us all the theories of creationism. There's not just one for those of people right. for those people who don't know. And they taught us all of the evolutionary theories
so
as well.
So would that be required private. That they do both sides?
I think it should be required
somebody...
the schools teach a lot of things.
Why
yes.
should a public school teach about creationism, which is a religious base, when there's a separation of church and state?
Well,
why
I'm
should
saying they should,
federal
be, they should
money
be free
be going
to make that.
That
choice in that local school district.
And I, look, the point
when there's
a
separation of church
is,
and state, they should not be.
That,
I went
this,
to
is,
public
this is part of that
in,
separation.
I went to public school
then.
In New York State.
It back in the local
what they taught us in New York State was evolution. And then there was a part.
The
there
separation
was a part.
Of the church and state,
right,
the
Scott.
Constitution.
You've never been this fiery before. I like
well,
this
I
a
just,
lot.
They
again,
still
no, I
know. The facts, it's the lies again. The, it's that
well,
kind
my,
of stuff.
Can but. I just again, laugh for a second about yeah. the fact that everyone's I upset about... Do. Yeah, whatever. But anyway, everyone's so upset that Betsy DeVos is becoming the lead of the education department because
I'm not
of how
much...
Well,
I'm
well
not
yeah,
not
but, you know, I'm just saying...
He means everybody, like as in most people.
As in most people on Facebook, whatever. About her being the lead of the education department because she has so much power when at the same time she's going in to eliminate the amount of power that she has.
That's
so
true.
In the future, it won't really matter as much who
that's true.
Gets...
Absolutely.
Well, they want to get rid of the department anyways.
That is a great point. Disembodied voice like from to. The booth. Yeah. The final point that I keep trying to make is I went to public school in New York State, and when we learned about evolution, there was also a moment where they're like, and you know, another theory is this, creationism, and they mentioned it like that. So there it was. Yeah. So, and I'm like, okay, look, I don't know what the problem is in mentioning, you know, some people think this way, which...
But the problem
your,
is when they teach it
ex-
as this is
the
only
way.
Way.
Well,
that's
but here's,
the problem.
But the
how would you like it if they said... gays are evil, horrible. Would you want the local schools to be teaching kids about that? Is that right?
Well, fun fact about that is
No, but I'm saying, is that okay?
Yeah, let me explain. So when parents have those hardcore beliefs, they make sure those are instilled in their children regardless of what the school says. My school didn't even mention homosexuality. The person who mentioned homosexuality in my school was this guy right here, and that's about it.
But I'm saying, if you're talking about local, would you be okay with that if someone in a place started teaching that?
It's up to – here's the thing. Also, with school of choice, parents could be like, that school hates gays. You're not going to go to
it. I'm talking about for public – if you're talking about public schools.
Yes, you keep asking a question. I'm going to keep giving you the same answer.
All right. Well, that's fine. But that's wrong.
The local government should make that decision.
They should not be making that decision on that's talking about, you know, slavery or other things. That's wrong. You're going to be teaching people like that?
As far as the horrible things that have been glossed over in public schools, I was never taught that there was a Korean War. I didn't even know there was a Korean War until I read. You watched MASH when it was on Netflix, and then I was like,
right, and that's wrong.
I was like, they're not in Vietnam, and I was so confused. And people were like, yeah, what do you think the DMZ is? And I was like, I don't even know what that is.
I don't know. I just know it's in my Twitter at Christian DMZ.
But I didn't know about the Korean War, so that was glossed over in school.
The problem is that unless you take initiative to be educated, watch TV, read books, then we are just giving rise to a completely ignorant class of Americans.
That's scary.
And it's kind of scary. Yeah.
Badly. And on that note, I do want to get to our, which is going to end up being our last topic. There was a very interesting tone in the commercials on the Super Bowl. And I do want to give our guests an opportunity to talk a little bit about what they thought that tone was, because we had discussed offline that we were going to get into that. So go ahead, Jeffrey.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, I told you that. The Super Bowl commercials were – there was a lot of forced –
It was very inclusive. It was very, we're not Trump's America is one way to look
right.
at it.
Well, the one commercial that bugged me the most was the Audi commercial where, like, while the girl is doing a boxcar race, her dad is like, how do I tell her everyone hates women? Like, it was the weirdest commercial.
It was an interesting stance, I have to agree with you on that, Jeffrey.
Like, it was – because I'm like, what father's thinking that while his daughter's winning a race? First of all. Second of all, why was the only black kid in there driving a white kid in a car?
That's true.
That was a weird commercial.
Very weird.
Of all, the Equal Pay Act was enacted in the 60s, and fourth of all, Audi's like income inequality, like they basically were perpetuating the myth of the wage gap, and I was like, guys, it's just a commercial for cars.
Yeah.
Calm down.
Just tell us how cool your car is.
You were really upset by it, but then you wanted people to calm down? Which one?
I wasn't actually that upset. I was just making fun of it the whole time. That, to me, was the most ridiculous commercial.
Yeah, there's a video on our YouTube channel that we break it down for about an hour.
So you spent an hour, and this is at Based in LA?
Yeah, I'm Based in LA's Facebook. We went live to talk about it. But the other commercial was the 84 Lumber one.
That's what I was going to mention.
Hey, guys, illegal immigration is exciting.
Yeah. It's really interesting because it was the same tone. I mean, except for commercials that were just terrible and not funny, but ones that had a very specific agenda that you were just like, okay, we get it. We should be inclusive. But
really,
you
think people get it?
Yeah,
we all saw Crash, which was a terrible movie.
I don't know. I know the room I was in was getting it, and I'm like, you know, it's Sunday. You know, maybe I want to have a couple beers and eat a lot of bad food. But stop lecturing me, football. But the other point that I saw a lot
that's
of people
really
making.
That's really too bad that's what you took from it. Did you later go on to see the whole thing?
It's like a 5.5
No,
minute,
I never do that. No.
Which whole thing?
If you can't,
of the lumber
which
84.
Commercial? Oh, the 84.
Yeah, no, if you can't tell me in your actual 44. Spot. No, I hate go look at our longer version. I'm like, GoDaddy does that every year. I don't care.
GoDaddy did that because they wanted you to think you were going to see Danica Patrick.
I knew I wasn't going to. Wait, did 84 Lumber show Danica Patrick in like a swimsuit or something?
No, but Mr. Clean almost showed us every
year. Yeah, Mr. Clean is the one I loved. Creepy Mr. Clean.
What do you mean creepy? The only thing that was creepy is I was like, why did I want to buy Mr.
I did. I was okay. Like, I'm very dirty. I need to have...
Because I leave my wife home alone with Mr. Clean, and now I can't trust him anymore. That's the problem.
The commercial says using Thank Mr. You. Clean will make your wife want to have sex with you.
Yeah. Did it say
that's
that?
What the yes, all because right. she well, jumped on her she husband at the end.
And you'll get a wife that's way out of your league.
That's true. That's the other thing.
Well, I think on that note, we do actually have to go. There's been some great feedback in the chat room, but I haven't had any time to comment. But thanks,
remember,
everybody.
The commercials were actually done months before the election, too. So this
absolutely.
Was election
so,
Trump
for
was
our guests, true. Tim Stabers, @TimStabers, Jeffrey Mark Klein, @Jeffrey, am I right? The at based in LA is the site, and you can find out more about their GoFundMe. Guys, like I said, we could have done 3 hours of this. I hope that we're able to have you back soon.
That'd be great.
For Scott Moore at SMan80, for Chelsea Galicia at Chelsea Galicia, I'm Christian by at ChristianDMZ. We will see you next Tuesday at 7. It's Valentine's Day. Ooh. See you then, lovers.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.